since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
We're going to talk NBA basketball here today on Drive Time Sports. As we do every Monday, we always bring in James Holis. He's half the Dunktail Pod. Always have some great conversations. James is a Celtics fan. If you've listened to the show enough over the last 13 years, you know I'm a Los Angeles Laker fan. Yeah, they had quite the interesting matchup on Saturday. And even if you didn't watch it, I know you have seen on social media LeBron's reaction to a no-call late in the game. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about LeBron catching Kareem. This is coming up. He's closing in faster and faster. We'll also talk about some of the other news and notes in the NBA. James, always a pleasure to have you along. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. It's always, I have a little bit of free time, just like I just took a free win as a fan. So, yeah, let's talk about it.
Two free wins. The Lakers and Celtics have provided us two very interesting matchups this year. I guess we could say that.
For sure. I'm going to give you guys credit. Get Celtics fan, Celtics. Give Lakers and their fandom credit. The Lakers have been playing much better recently. Anthony Davis looks like he might be, you know, legit and back. And the guys around them, Rui's going to be a good pickup. So I didn't realize how good the Lakers have been since maybe mid-December. So tip my hat. They looked pathetic early on in the season, but they look like a real team now.
Yeah, they are playing better. There's no question about it. And look, this is, in the same sense, this is an ode to the Celtics because I do believe this is the best team in the NBA. The fact that you can go on the road, even though Marcus Smart is not playing, and you can hang with this team and have multiple chances to win this game tells me that you are moving in the right direction for a team that is trying to climb the Western Conference standings. With that being said, it's a bad loss because the Lakers now have a five-game road trip. And if you go back to the way this game ended, yes, it was absolutely a foul against Jason Tatum. Should have sent LeBron James to the line to win the game. But, James, my biggest issue with this whole thing is really the way the NBA has set up instant replay. If you're going to, at any point in time, be able to pause the game, go to the scores table, and look at the camera work, you have to do it for plays that are this crucial to decide the outcome, be it a foul, be it a buzzer beater, whatever. If we're going to utilize instant replay, it needs to be utilized in the most crucial situations. And that obviously was not the case on Saturday night.
I guess my thing would be, are we going to start, how much are we going to slow the game down? Are we
going to
review every possible foul in the last 2 minutes? I get it, and out of bounds, absolutely, 100%. You want to review for out of bounds. But what this was, you know, a non-call. I understand if they maybe thought they had a foul, but no, even then, that's why they have challenges. So I do feel for the Lakers and their fans because it's a bum deal. I'll say it. If I was the Celtics, and I mean, if this was reversed and that happened with Jason Tatum with LeBron James, I'd be incensed. So I get it. But I don't, I feel like this is such a unique thing that almost rarely happens. You don't want to start legislating on knee-jerk reactions.
Now, that's a fair point as well, because the other side of that argument would say we already slowed the game down way too much. I think the final 4 minutes of that game in regulation took roughly 35 minutes to play.
Forever, 100%. So, yeah, man, it's really tough, but we always say this. No matter what happened on the last play, last shot, so there's literally dozens and dozens of other plays that go into that.
100%.
You know, before that. So I get it. The Lakers have just a narrow margin of error right now, but that's not the Celtics' fault.
Absolutely not. When you start off 2-10, you put yourself in a position to have zero margin of error. But with that being said, again, as I mentioned, I believe Boston is the best team in the Eastern Conference. James, have you seen enough from the Lakers in your mind to think that this is a team that can now cause some massive problems in the West? I think it's a foregone conclusion. They're going to get into the playoffs. They're playing too well right now. I know they're 23-27, but still, I mean, this is a team that's playing good basketball. They went 10-10 without Anthony Davis. I think they're only three games back of really contending for home court in the first round of the playoffs.
Three games back of fourth, I believe.
Yeah, it's close. It's close. Is this a team that can cause fits 1-8 in the Western Conference?
If the playoffs started tomorrow, I would say yes, but there's 30-something games left. You got to bank on Anthony Davis staying healthy. You have to bank on Russell Westbrook being as non-destructive as possible. And, again, we could talk about how bringing him in overtime kind of, like, sunk the Lakers for good. You got to count on Austin Reeves being healthy. you got to count on Schroeder and Patrick Beverly knocking down shots, timely three-pointers. There's a lot of ifs that have to happen for the Lakers to really be deadly. But obviously, if LeBron James can give you 40 and Anthony Davis can give you 30 in any given night, you're going to have a puncher's chance against anyone.
Yeah, I want to go back to this conversation in just a moment. We're going to use the same logic with some of the other teams in the East and Western Conference. But before we move on with the Lakers, we have to talk about LeBron James rapidly approaching Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's scoring mark. Up until about 2 years ago, I can't even say that, up until about a year and a half ago, because I still think there were questions based off LeBron's health over the last 2 or 3 years. James, I didn't think anyone would ever touch this record.
Yeah, this is one of those things that snuck up on us, even though we all kind of saw it coming and you can project out. But it's kind of mind-blowing how he's playing at this stage of his career. So you got to just tip your hat, man. We've never seen an athlete quite like LeBron James. We probably never will, as far as just the relative durability and the relative, like, you know, he's – dude, that video of him when that kid from the Rockets said, yeah, man, you played against my dad in your first game. And now, you know, the guy has an NBA-age son who's playing in the NBA, and LeBron played against both of them. That's just mind-breaking. So, yeah, man, kudos to LeBron. Again, I say with easily for me, he's a top two player. And even though, to me, Mike is the gold standard, LeBron, once we step away from his full career and you have a little time to let it digest and settle and you look back at it with a little more clarity, I can definitely understand why people will say he's the best player of all time.
You know, the when it comes to records, yes, there's such thing as longevity records, right? But this is a record that comes with longevity and production. You can't the two mix with this particular record. I mean, if you have someone, there's such things as records, you know, just they're straight up longevity records, right? This one, you have to be productive while having health, while having longevity, while taking care of your body and having a little bit of luck. That's why I don't think that this is ever going to happen again. I mean, when you take a look at the guys that he is passing, up until the final 3 years of his career, Kobe was relatively healthy throughout pretty much his entire career. Part of the reason why he managed to climb into the top five at that particular time. MJ only played 12 seasons. Outside of one, he was relatively healthy. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was able to play two decades. He was relatively healthy throughout his career, outside of a little, you know, some little misses here and there. Same thing with Karl Malone. You have to be productive over the course of a long career. That's why this isn't going to happen again.
Oh, for sure. Some guy could play for 30 years, but if he's averaging, you know, 8 points a game, nobody's going to give a damn. The fact that, like, LeBron James has played for so long and been so productive, again, I mean, all-time scoring leaders, let me see. Right now, I think LeBron has the fifth highest scoring average of all time behind Mike, Wilt, Elgin Baylor, and Kevin Durant. And that's, I mean, Allen Iverson, great scorer. LeBron James scores more, you know. Karl Malone, considered one of the most gifted scorers ever. LeBron James averages almost 3 points more per game than he did, 2 points. That's insane. I do think it's going to take LeBron retiring and maybe 5-6 years past his retirement where people kind of look back and have the numbers really jump off the page, because right now I think we're just so close to it that we're in it. So we're like, oh, this is amazing. Once you look at his numbers compared to everybody else, once he's done and it's been 10 years, I think people are going to really grasp how insane it is what he does.
Again, James Holos, our guest right now, half of the Dunktales pod. We'll talk about that again in just a moment. James, going back over to the Laker conversation, when I asked if they were legit, if they could cause some problems in the Western Conference to the top eight teams, I want to piggyback off of that. We'll talk about some of the other teams. Right now, the Phoenix Suns are at 26-25, and we are nearing the trade deadline. Are you off the Phoenix Sun bandwagon? Is this a team that should start at least exploring some deals to move on from guys, or do they still have a legit chance in your mind?
I think that maybe this year, I mean, you want to see Devin Booker come back, right? He's their best player and he's been out forever. That's going to be the bellwether. And even if they say this year might, you know, this is not our year, Booker's young enough, Mikal Bridges is young enough. You can restart retooling next year without, you know, maybe figure out something for Chris Paul in the summer. But I don't think you give up, you know, Booker's that kind of talent, just like Dame. Sure, he's not a top five guy, but he's definitely one of those kind of guys you build a franchise around. So while I think the Suns might want to retool, it's not a rebuild, right? They got to figure out how they're going to move forward once Chris Paul is done, because that's coming rapidly. He played all right, though, you know, recently, but beginning of the season and the injuries. So that's all. I think it's going to be a retool, not a reset in Phoenix.
Okay, looking at another team of the Western Conference, the Pelicans have fallen on some hard times. There's a team that's lost 8 straight, 9 out of their last 10. They have slipped all the way to the 8th seed. And we were talking about this team being one of the most exciting squads in the Western Conference, while teams like Minnesota, Golden State, Sacramento, they have all played better basketball than New Orleans over the last 3.5 weeks.
All about health, man. And when you hit your wagon to a workhorse like Zion, you got to understand. We all knew. We saw it, the injuries. The size and the injuries, and obviously, I think this is not about him not being in shape. It's just he's so explosive, and like, look, they gave him the contract knowing this. So, if you can get 50 games out of Zion, as long as he's playing and when they count, that's all you really care about. We know that they're better than this. We know that when they're whole, they're you know, arguably the best team in the West. Health and can they keep Zion on the floor? Can Brandon Ingram's been missed? I just realized Brandon Ingram's missed all this time with a bone bruise.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. He's still considered day to day, which means he's not 100%.
And he's been out now for like, what, 2-3 months, 2.5 months, yep. Whatever it is. Like, that's worrisome. I think Ingram's more, but it's all about health. If their top three guys are healthy, they can probably go toe to toe with anybody in the West. I don't think the Pelicans have anything to worry about right now.
The Los Angeles Clippers seem to be playing better basketball. I think the rest of the league should definitely be aware of this. You and I have talked about this, I think, since going back to the beginning of the year. Front to back, 1 through 12, deepest roster in the NBA. I know it goes, it follows perfectly, James, with what you were just talking about. It's all about health with this team.
All about health, and they are doing they are the epitome of the load management. And I get why the NBA might have to address this, because they strategically just tank games and sit everyone. They just toss that game, that game on the scrap heap. But, you know, how do Pacers fans feel when they pay their good money to see Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and see, you know, a supposed contender and they get the B squad? But, yeah, they definitely are playing chess, not checkers there. They're just trying to keep Kawhi and Paul George, you know, 90, 95% healthy at the right time. So this whole season for them is like a training camp. I was not worried about them early in the year, because I knew that their big guns weren't out there. And, we know that their ceiling is championship contender. They want to be able to put their best assets out there in crunch time.
I am not a doctor. I'm not going to even pretend to be one on the air. However, we haven't seen an overabundance of success from teams who played load management in the regular season and the postseason.
I completely agree, because there's something about chemistry, about building up confidence and building up good habits together as a roster. When your best guys are in and out so often, it's hard to really do that. Is there really a sense of trust there? Really a camaraderie? So I understand. This is all a science experiment. I think we know that the Clippers have been together now for what, 3 years, 4 years, and like this, so far the experiment has been a failure. So it would take them making a very deep run, all healthy, and not just deep run, honestly, like, you know, championship robust in Clipperland for now. This season, they probably got two more good swings at it, you know, this season and next season, and after that, they got to look in the mirror.
Let's flip over to the Eastern Conference. I still believe the Celtics are the cream of the crop. There are some teams poking up. One team you and I haven't spent a lot of time talking about, the Brooklyn Nets. If this team is healthy, they are playing better basketball right now. There's no question about it. Kyrie has not played bad. Really turned it on in the last couple of minutes in the game against the Knicks. You just take a look at the way things have gone for this organization. If they get things moving, they get a healthy KD, they get a very healthy Kyrie come postseason time, this is a team I don't know that I'd want to play, James.
Yeah, man. So for me, and I'm going to push back a little bit against you, because everything is a snapshot in time. I think Philly right at this moment is the best team in the East. They look really good. But, yeah, the Nets are after a really rocky start without Kevin Durant. I think they lost like 4 out of 6 or 5 out of 7. Kyrie really seems like he's getting his footing and turning around that whole narrative of him being just a great Robin who can't play Batman. He's looked like Batman the last few games. The scoring, I'm never going to use leadership for him, but he seems very confident, and his guys are feeding off his confidence, and they're playing much better. Kevin Durant comes back. I still don't know if I trust Watanabe. I still don't know if they have enough around those two guys, you know, because Seth Curry, he's out now, I think, with an injury, and Joe Harris has been a disappointment. But Claxton's been playing like an all-star almost, you know, borderline all-star. So, yeah, maybe they definitely are right there with, as far as Philly, as teams that all of a sudden are scaring the top of the East.
Yeah, you know, in regards to Philly, I'm glad you brought up the 76ers. I believe when we have a large sample size, I don't believe in analytics all the way to the core. I believe that there's some truth to it. You got to really pay attention to both sides of the equation. When you look at Philadelphia, go back to, I don't know, I'm going to say Christmas Day, okay? My biggest knock on Philly was the fact that this team could not win on the road. Since Christmas, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, 9-2. So they won 9 out of their last 11 on the road. They can get it done on the road. That was a worry I had in mid-December, and I know it's still early in the season, but I pay attention to those types of things. You can't be losing games to Washington and New Orleans on the road. As of late, they've been stellar. They've been beating teams, not just beating teams, they've been handing it to teams on the road.
For sure, man. With Maxey back in the fold and Shake Milton doing his thing. And I think the big thing is there's no more Harden is realized, and Embiid is the guy. I just need to kind of play my position beside him, and he's fine doing that now. After being a leading man for so long, I think that was a little bit of a struggle for him. But and Embiid has really taken another step. Embiid is just absolutely dominant. He's playing like a top three player in the league right now at the moment. They have talent at the top. Their depth is starting to really be productive. A guy like Tobias Harris has now shifted down to maybe your third, fourth best player, which is exactly where he should be. And yeah, they're kind of gelling at the right time. You know, they're getting their reps, and like we just talked about earlier, getting your reps matters because they're getting their reps and they're getting comfortable together.
Well, end with this, James. Trade deadline right around the corner. We're in the final couple of days of January. Biggest name that has been rumored that you believe there's maybe some substance to?
Honestly, now that they got our boy Miles Turner off the board, allegedly, where they gave him that nice extension. I'm not really sure, man. I think it's this. I don't know if it's gonna be a big name moving right now. I feel like it's gonna be one of those kind of mid-tier role players. We all hear the talk about the Raptors, right? So I think a guy like OG Anunoby would be a power shifting move if he goes to a team. Like I heard there's a rumor about him going to, you know, for Crowder and that other big guy they got there, and then maybe some picks to go into Phoenix. You put Anunoby in Phoenix, and that definitely pushes them up a level. And that's probably the biggest name I've heard.
The idea of Chris Paul getting dealt the deadline, no way.
Probably not. Just for the fact that, well, as weird as he's been this year, he meant so much to them for the last couple of years, and they do need somebody else to kind of handle the ball and be able to create besides Devin Booker. And I think if they're trying to win, unless they do like kind of punt this year, and that would be, I wouldn't be, they could pivot either way, and I wouldn't be too shocked. From what I understand, though, the big issue right now, I think, even though, you know, there will be a change of power, Sarver still has all veto possibility there.
Mm-hmm.
Veto power. That's what I'm hearing. So it's interesting to watch what happens in Phoenix the next couple months.
He's James Holis again, half of the Dunk Tales Pod. James, always a pleasure to get you on. Before I let you go, tell us more about the Dunk Tales Pod.
Dunk Tales Pod, we are in a lazy man hiatus. We haven't recorded in a couple weeks because, you know, we both just have life going on. But it's me and my buddy JP just talking basketball, giving our own spin on stuff. We're not very smart, but we have fun.
I think you're very smart. We definitely have a lot of fun here. I know the podcast is always a lot of fun as well. James, I appreciate you taking out the time. We'll do it again next week.
Always a pleasure, my man.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. We'll talk a ton of football. It's all going to be geared towards Super Bowl 57. And, of course, we'll talk about the Bengals and the 49ers, two teams falling shy of the Super Bowl. That'll be on the show tomorrow, same time, same place. Until then, be safe. I am out.